Good morning, Trinity Youth. It is Wednesday, March 20th. This is Haley.
And Dave. And y'all, I am so thrilled to introduce you to today's guest. She is my fellow 90s kid. Gets all the great music and pop references from those days. I'm sure had a slap bracelet at some point, or multiple. But more than that, if you look up youth leader in the dictionary, you will probably find a picture of Bonnie Beecham in there.
I mean, I consider Bonnie, when I think of Bonnie, more as like, I think of a prayer warrior. There's somebody that you want praying for you.
I think she'd be also in the dictionary for that.
Right. I'm giving you the second dictionary term for Bonnie, where her picture is also featured.
This is a good game. I like this.
Yes. There's no one that you, when something happens in your life, no one that I'd rather text than Bonnie to know that they're in your corner. Bonnie is beloved by our students and parents alike. She is steady and calm, even when I don't feel steady and calm. She is a wonderful person to have around, calm in the midst of the storm. So, importantly also, she is a cat mom. Mm-hmm. It would be amiss if we left that out. So, without further ado.
The one and only, Bonnie Beecham.
What's up, y'all? Thanks for having me on the pod and for, you know, identifying all of my wonderful traits.
That wasn't even inclusive.
That was not inclusive.
Oh, my goodness.
Bonnie also likes people talking about her.
Mm-hmm. There we go.
Bonnie, being a connoisseur, it's a French word, of all things 90s, we're going to theme our opening questions today with a little 90s flair. Is that cool by you?
It's totally tubular.
Yes.
Oh, God.
Oh, man. Wow. Thank you, Bonnie. Perfect.
No problem.
Okay. So I thought so. First one, tell me, what were your favorite CDs in the 90s? Maybe we need to explain what a CD was, but.
Yeah. A CD. I mean, some of you know, your parents might have them. There are these little round discs that are shiny. That if you put them in the microwave and stick them in the microwave, they'll like get all of these disco ball looking lines on them.
I haven't tried that. Okay.
But you would carry around a Discman, which we thought was small. It was a giant device, and you would put this round disc in there and listen to music.
When they invented skip control, it was a breakthrough.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Do they have CDs in cars nowadays? If you have CarPlay, does that screen take up where the CD would normally go? Do y'all know?
I don't think they have them.
They don't, but my car, being as old as it is, I have installed CarPlay and I still have my CD player.
I have a 2014 and it does have a CD player, but it's broken.
2013 active CD player, that's what's up.
That's totally
Do you use it?
No.
You know they're back in.
CDs.
Mm-hmm.
Listen, I pay for Spotify once a month. See, I'm not buying CDs.
People want to own their music for life. Mm-hmm. And so they've come back as a compact way. The compact disc that you actually own the music, not the right to listen to the music, which we won't go any deeper than that. They're about DRM and digital rights. But Bonnie, what were your top three favorite CDs?
So this is a very difficult one for me. I was a big music fan. So what I decided to do instead is pick a favorite CD from each era of the 90s. So when I started out in the 90s, I was in middle school. And so Boys to Men, 1994's Coolie High Harmony.
Wow.
Uh-huh.
Boys to Men.
Yeah.
Okay. That's with a Z, everybody?
Yes.
If you're trying to
find.
And
a Roman numeral, too.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Wow.
One of the OG boy bands. So we'll go with that one.
Great.
Let's see. 1997 got a University of Florida band called Sister Hazel.
Oh, I didn't know they were UF.
Oh, yeah. They came out
it's
of UF.
It's all for you.
Exactly.
This is Dave's daily sing-along.
Yes. They're one
also the year that I was born.
Wow. Bonnie.
It's painful.
I'm so
Bonnie,
sorry.
We're so wise.
That's
yeah.
true. Uh-huh. Uh-huh. Awesome.
Yeah. That is still painful. It's not as painful as when the youth kids bring up what year they were born. So we're not going to talk about that. But yeah, and just so you know, next week they're going to be playing in Brookhaven
at
a festival. Yep, Sister Hazel. I had a friend text me last night about it. Yes, also a Z. Ironically, the next one does have a Z as well. This is my freshman year in college, 1999, and that would have been Vertical Horizon.
Did you know that there was a Z in every single one?
I did not, but it is evidently the theme currently.
Vertical Horizon, so good. She's everything you want.
Uh-huh.
She's everything you need. Oh, you know
it. Oh, you do know it.
Haley was in Young Life.
And great job.
I didn't know I would know it. I was like, I don't know any of these bands. Yeah. And then you sang it, and I knew.
Yeah.
You'll know you found the album cover if there's a girl like doing a backflip.
Upside down, yeah.
And it's
with
kind
the
of
ocean.
Like with a weird filter color on scheme on it.
I thought it was the best design.
Parents
ever.
Who are listening, you know.
Kids who are listening, you are as confused as me, but don't worry. We'll get into non-confusing things
I love
things
that
later.
Also, during a political season, Bonnie taught us how to respond to the question you wanted to be asked, not the one that was actually asked. So
yes.
Great job, Bonnie.
You've always got to know how to turn it.
All right. That was great.
All right, Bonnie, what TV shows were you into?
So this is also a hard one, and here's why. When I was in sixth grade, my parents finally got cable and hooked up to our ancient wood-paneled TV with the dials.
Perfect.
And our TV exploded. So they made the decision to not have cable.
Did it catch on fire or just like
It like zap, 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 like shocked, like electrical sparks, and then I think there was a little smoke and then it was just gone. So they just decided they didn't trust cable after that. So
fair. I mean,
yeah,
something's hurt you once.
Yeah.
So that basically just left me with six stations and whatever was on TV. And we only had one TV.
Okay.
So
yeah. So network TV.
I had to watch what my parents watched, which most of it was awful.
TGIF?
Well, they did let me watch TGIF. So for all you that don't know, that was on ABC, and it was like Family Matters with Urkel, The Total Nerd, and like
Full House.
Full House and Step by Step.
Step by
and
Step, yeah.
Boy Meets World. Uh-huh. Those are all great. But those do not fall into my top three. So number one, and I think there's a lot of high schoolers out there who've watched this, would be the show Friends.
Mm. That,
yes.
Yeah.
It came out when I was in eighth grade, and it ended my right after I moved to Atlanta as a freshly graduated college student.
Oh, you grew up with it.
Oh, yeah. So many good episodes, like the one where Phoebe says, you're his lobster, or the ones with the chicken, the duck, or the one where Monica gets stung by a jellyfish.
Incredible. Mm-hmm. I never actually really followed Friends, believe it or not.
But good news, it's on streaming.
It is, yes.
And the episodes are short.
Cool.
So.
Yeah, 22 minutes.
Yeah.
All right, what else?
Okay, have you ever seen the show A Different World with Dwayne Wayne and Whitley?
I remember it, but I remember it was a thing, but I was never into it.
That, honestly, that's probably my favorite show of the 90s. So it's all these college students going to a historically black college, and it was a spinoff of The Cosby Show.
Okay.
And it was hilarious, so good, like, if it was on, I was going to stop everything to watch it. And in fact, I was just watching it recently. So.
Wonderful. Mm-hmm. That's so fun.
And then the third one, Saved by the Bell.
I also never got into Saved by the Bell.
Oh my gosh, Dave, are you even a 90s kid?
You know,
I know.
I watched that show because it was on when I'd procrastinate getting out of bed in third grade.
There was
and
so
my
much
mom
content.
Would let me stay in bed, watch Saved by the Bell, and bring me a Pop-Tart in bed as a princess.
Did you enjoy it?
I think I enjoyed Sure. Yeah, I definitely liked watching it.
Okay.
But I was also in third grade and half asleep.
That's true. That's true. This is how much of a fan of Saved by the Bell I was. Kelly and Zach get married. And so
spoiler.
We had a VCR and you could record TV shows onto the VCR. And so I had this giant video cassette tape and I recorded it so I could watch Kelly and Zach's wedding over and over and over again.
Beautiful.
Yes.
Recording on a VCR.
Mm-hmm.
That is one of the trends of the 90s. And so the final question is, what trends of the 90s do you think should maybe stop and what should come back today? So we'll wrap up our 90s.
Oh, I can definitely say what should stop.
Okay.
The JNCO jeans craze.
I remember those.
The giant jeans.
Skaters.
That
the skaters in
their school. Well, there's skater pants that can be good. Like the cords that are coming back right now.
I
love those. But like the jeans
chunky cords
that are longer than your feet, they are huge flare on the bottom.
It's the fit around your
rollerblades. When it rains, your entire legs are soggy for, like, the rest of the day.
You become a mop.
They're not practical.
You are a mop. Yes. And I warned several youthlings, but they did not listen. And now they are learning. So we
is
can
JNCO
do it with
still
that.
A brand?
It probably is, but
JNCO,
I don't think it's,
yeah.
like, the main one
That's
that people
wild.
Are buying.
That's a trip. Oh, my gosh. Okay. So that should stay.
Yeah.
Maybe what should come
out? Neon.
Neon. Neon
Absolutely.
Is so good.
Yeah.
Well, every high school... Pink. Every middle school has neon day at some point.
Yes.
So it's there.
Mm-hmm.
It's fun. It sparks joy.
It is fun, but every time I'm always rushing into my closet, like, what neon do I own? I forget to collect it until I need
You don't
it.
Have a flare box?
So what I hear you saying is we need to provide you
we need
with
to.
Some neon.
Everybody
oh,
listening,
gosh.
Friends
yes.
of the pod, send
Haley,
Haley
needs,
some neon.
Like,
she's shaking her head.
No, my closet's small.
Neon.
Maybe if it's like a duster. She's into dusters. Yeah. Those are those sweaters that like hang low. I just learned this because of Haley.
Oh my gosh. A neon duster.
I don't know that I've ever seen black a light. Neon one, but I'm sure great. We can find one on Amazon.
It would look good. With all the like the little fibers, it would mm-hmm. It would be shiny.
Oh my goodness. Okay, well, this has been very fun. And the idea of being sent many neon clothes is very scary. But we're gonna land with a question that's gonna bring us to our text today. The account of Jesus talking about the rich young ruler. The rich young ruler. Kind of a tongue twister, y'all. Yeah, don't try it at home. Twist your tongue. In the account, the character in question is known as Rich and Young. Bonnie, who were you in middle school and high school? If you had two adjectives that described you, mm-hmm. this and that, what are they?
Were you Rich Young Bonnie?
Oh, definitely not. Definitely not rich, maybe young. But I think I would say nerdy and mm-hmm. shy. Aww. And I do come with proof my nerdiness.
Wow. It's your group me pick too, isn't it?
It is. It is my group me pick. So I looked like Harry Potter before J.K. Rowling wrote the book. Definitely had Coke bottle thick glasses with bifocals
and tape. The round lenses.
Sometimes holding. Now.
They are, and I find it very painful.
Okay. Hard memory.
Well, trends come back. So you're trendy. You were way ahead of your time.
I was so far ahead of my time. That's exactly what it was. Yeah. So I'd say I was nerdy and I was very shy. But I do think near the end of high school that started to shift. I'm still nerdy and I embrace it fully. But, I had some really close friends both at church and at school that I started to connect with near the end of high school, and that was so life-giving for me. And so I think at that point I started coming out of my shell a bit, but nerdy and shy.
Mm-hmm. Bonnie, thank you. Because I think there's a lot of folks listening who would identify both as being nerdy and a lot of shy people too. So it's great to hear your story along the way, and I'm excited to hear how you interact with this text.
Yes.
So, Bonnie, again, thanks for sharing about all that. And we would hope that we're going to ask you to share in the reading today. It's a little bit of a longer text, so we're going to split it up. It's a very familiar story. As Haley said, it's a tongue twister. It is the rich young ruler. Haley, you went first, so I got to say it slowly.
It is kind of hard. I was just like, five times fast. Speed bump.
So as we go, feel free to comment or ask questions about this. But we encourage everyone to lean in and listen. Imagine the scene. In this scene, there is a man who, surprise, rich, young, and he wants to know from Jesus what he must do to inherit eternal life. It's a question we're all asking, like, how do I do it right? How do I do it? And so this is his story and how Jesus responds to him. And so I'm going to start, and then Bonnie, and then Haley. So y'all ready?
Great. Our first try reading ever.
I know. Woo. Oh, this is great. Wait, what?
Like,
try
reading. Yes. Try reading.
Oh, yeah. Bonnie is the one to have it. So this is from Matthew 19, 16 through 26. Matthew 19, 16 through 26. Then someone came to Jesus and said, "Teacher, what good deed must I do to have eternal life?" Did you catch that? What good deed? So for him, it's all about what are the things I need to do? How do I perform right so I can get this eternal life? And Jesus said to him, "Why do you ask me about what is good? There is only one who is good. If you wish to enter into life, keep the commandments." He said to him, "Which ones?" And Jesus said, "Shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness. Honor your mother and father. And also love your neighbor as yourself." So he's quoting some of the Ten Commandments right here that this kid should have come into mind. So Bonnie, you got it.
The young man said to him, "I have kept all these. What do I still lack?" Jesus said to him, "If you wish to be perfect, go. Sell your possessions and give the money to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven, and then come follow me." When the young man heard this, he went away grieving, for he had many possessions.
I love, let's just real quick, the man, he said, "I've kept all of these commandments."
Well, also, it's just interesting that if he gives you a list and you've kept them all, why not just stop there? I'd be like, oh, sick. Thanks, Jesus.
He's clearly a little insecure, but yeah, He's there's a facade that he wants to make sure he keeps, or an image, it feels like.
Yeah. Well, you can tell that when he says, "What do I still lack?"
What do I still lack? Mm-hmm. Yes, that there is obviously a lack. Because he's like, okay, cool, but why do I still feel like maybe there's more to life than getting the rules all right?
Sure. Well, I'll finish. I'll bring us home. Finish
bring
the passage.
Yeah.
Then Jesus said to his disciples, "Truly I tell you that it will be hard for a rich person to enter the kingdom of heaven. Again, I tell you, it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for someone who is rich to enter the kingdom of God." When the disciples heard this, they were greatly astounded and said, then who can be saved? But Jesus looked at them and said, for mortals it is impossible, but for God all things are possible. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Thanks be to God. Thank you, Haley. Thank you, Bonnie. You know, this is a challenging passage. This is another example of the hardest teachings of Jesus are not the confusing things. They're the things that feel really clear. It's hard to get around this when he says, hey, sell your possessions to the poor. That's pretty direct. It's at this man's identity. So I also don't want us to miss how the interaction ends. First, the rich young man. Do y'all notice how he goes away? Grieving.
Yeah, he's sad.
That's a big word. Like that's an intense word to be in grief. It's powerful. So the man is sad, like, oh man, this is my identity. Yeah, what, Haley?
Well, it's also interesting because Jesus said, like, if you want to be perfect, like, if you want to walk this, like, if you want to do it perfectly, it's not like he said, like, oh, well, you're not going to get in then. It's not like he, like, threatened him, but he's still grieved because his goal is to, like, be perfect to hold all these things together. Mm-hmm. So interesting. So anyways.
Man. Yeah, so that's one thing, the grieving and what Jesus is poking on in his identity right there, his version of perfection. And second, the disciples themselves think that following Jesus is darn near impossible, and not just for someone who's rich. So if you're out there and you're like, no, actually, I feel like I'm poor, I'm not rich. They're like, well, who can be saved? They're not just saying, who of the rich can be saved? They're saying, who of anybody? And so that's when Jesus brings about one of these famous lines. He says, for mortals, it's impossible, but for God, all things are possible. So Haley and Bonnie, as you know, we are in Lent. We're following Jesus on his journey to the cross. I'm curious what your thoughts are on this passage and Lent.
Yeah, I think we can see that Jesus is challenging this guy's labels, the sense of, okay, well, if you want to be perfect, this is who you say you are to everyone. Without that, like, can you get rid of who you are? Mm-hmm. And, like, who the world sees you to be and just be someone who follows me? And you're like, oh, gosh, this comfort that I have, this person that I am to everyone. And I don't know what that would be for anybody else or what that sounds like. I mean, I'm even thinking what it would be for me. But, yeah, and then, like, also at first it's really clear he's sucking up to Jesus. Like, there's no way he actually hasn't broken any of those commandments. I think I can look back on my own life and think about how I haven't loved my neighbor as myself. Probably yesterday I didn't put my trash cans in. They're still sitting near where they park. And I didn't love that man the way I'd, you know, whatever. Like, I can think in my own life of ways I've broken those things. And then lastly, like, there's his wealth. Like, we just had this label he's known for. And Jesus asked him to drop the label and follow him. And that's all those things combined. There's so much going on that's so tough. Bonnie, what comes to mind for you?
I still can't get over the, you know, what do I lack? I'm missing something. And I think when we give ourselves labels or we try to live into an identity, and it doesn't mean those things aren't maybe necessarily true of us, but like they're not the whole of us.
Yeah.
So many times they are expressing like a felt lack, even if we're not self-aware enough to like be able to say that. And I think a lot of times they're also covering over fear. Or a desire for comfort. And I actually, when Haley reached out about doing this, like I had just been reading this passage because what I gave up for Lent.
I was going to ask you. Uh-huh.
Yeah.
I don't know. This is a
surprise today.
So what I gave up for Lent was being on Amazon, which is sometimes really hard as an adult. So, and the reason was, I had just been talking with a friend about, so Amazon has this like little almost like TikTok thing where you can just keep scrolling and seeing all the things.
And it's videos?
It's videos of them recommending products to you. And for me, it's like, if I just had this, then I'll have peace.
But like an algorithm based off what you've already bought.
Yes,
I'm sure.
Absolutely.
It knows just where to get
you. Yeah, it knows exactly where to get
me. Of what
I am not a big spender by any means, but you better believe that those little $6 charges were going out the door. And so much of it for me was about, if I just had this, then I will have peace. If I just have this, then I will have comfort. And I think the same can be true of like an identity. Like if I just felt more like this person that I'm trying to be, or if this person just saw me as this, then I'll be okay.
Yeah.
And I think this rich young ruler comes feeling very similarly. He wants to be seen in this way, but he also feels that same lack. And I think he's been building up and building up.
Yeah.
And so that's what's really stood out to me, is that feeling of lack.
Oh, man. That's great.
This is a spontaneous question. Mm-hmm. Oh, I did not send this in advance, everyone listening. So if you say whatever you want, Bonnie. But Bridge Young Ruler, like what, how he wants his label, how to be perceived. Mm-hmm. If you go back to Nerdy Shy Bonnie.
Oh my gosh.
What did she, like, what were her labels? What were the things that she, like, really needed people to see her as? What was she striving for that would have been really hard?
Yeah. I mean, I think right off the bat, smart.
Mm-hmm. I mean, oh, like, that's a big one. That's I felt so many students that. Feel. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I mean, because I was nerdy, but, like, I think when you get into school and you're good at something, everybody starts paying attention to that or complimenting you for that. And that starts to form part of your identity. You're like, well, I like being complimented. Mm-hmm. I like being seen a certain way. And so I would definitely say smart. And to the point where that can take me if I, like, lean into it too much is being a know-it-all. Mm-hmm. Like, yeah, that is definitely something I can fall into. So I would say being seen as smart, like, knowing everything, being the top of my class, like, that is who I wanted to be. I think everybody wanted to be popular, so I definitely wanted to be popular, and I would find myself, like, making very poor choices, especially in middle school. Yeah. I would help people cheat. So I would use my smart to help people cheat the popular kids so that they would treat me well.
Oh, my gosh.
That's what came to mind to me.
It's a really a universal experience. Yeah. I think a lot of people get that.
Yeah, popular I felt like was always tied to in my school's making crazy choices. And I was like, I'm not willing to do that, but I want
to
hang with y'all.
You had to turn part of your brain off, your conscience a little bit, and say, this isn't me. But I so think I have a lack to be noticed, to be approved, to be welcome, to belong, that I'm going to turn off this part of who I am. You probably, y'all listening, probably feel this a bit.
Yeah. Well, I'd have to cheat or talk about people. Like, that's all, like, people's worst things in the world were all I would have to talk about in those circles, or drink or be into boys or whatever. And it's like, if those things
watch a show, talk a certain way, talk about these people.
Shows too,
whatever words you use, make sure you know now, like, the right memes or whatever. You're keeping up. It's exhausting.
It is absolutely exhausting. And it just falls apart because, you know, for me it was like, if I do nice things for these people, then I'll be in the in crowd. I'll be okay.
Which is just this dude, right? If I do the right things, then God owes me something.
But then those same people will turn on you, potentially. If they're talking smack about other people.
What are they saying
about what you? Exactly. Connect the dots.
So if you had to go back, or even to the people you see that way, like, what would you say to Nerdy Shy Bonnie? Like, hey, you don't have to. Like, what? Have to be smart. Don't let people cheat. Like, what would you want to tell that person?
I don't think Nerdy Shy Bonnie would have heard it or received it, but it probably would have gotten filed away in her brain for later. So this is actually one of the really great things about being in middle age now is, like, I just do not care what people think anymore. Like, that's exhausting. It is. It is such a gift. And but I think the biggest thing is I did not realize God's heart for me. I did not understand the depth and height and width of his love for me. Because when my gaze, when what I was looking at was so filled with what do other people think of me, I couldn't see what he thought of me, which is so much more important because he made me. And I couldn't see who he wanted to make me into because I was so busy trying to make myself into something else. But I think just immersing yourself in verses and scripture that talk about his love for you, and also, like, people who will reinforce that, that I think would have been huge. And I did receive that when I was in college.
So that it sounds like two practices you're kind of saying, like, yourself, individual practice of making sure that through scripture, songs that are stuck in your head, there's a true message about you that you're receiving. But then the people you surround yourself with. Just this morning, we had a guys' Bible study. This morning, we're looking at Proverbs 27:17. It's iron sharpens iron, one sharpens another.
Such a good
one. Like, who are you surrounding yourself with? Are they telling you the true story? Or are they telling you the story of, like, no, lack, like this? Like, you got to keep earning, keep earning, keep earning to stay in this belonging. Gosh.
Well, and psychologists say, not to bring the brain into it, but you become, like, the top five people you spend time around.
Yes.
You will pick up on traits they do. You will start talking the way they do. And you'll notice, like, what captivates their heart will begin to captivate yours. Because naturally are people who, like, look to other people for belonging and for meaning and for all these types of things. And so when you're making company with people who you're like, I don't know if I like you, but I want to fit in with you, you might find yourself acting kind of like that too. And it's just important to take inventory of.
That is so true. When I was in middle school, I had a horse friend. Not a horse that
a
was
horse
a friend.
A horse that was a friend?
But like, and I believe this still exists, but like a lot of students can get really into horses at a certain age. And so that was this friend, Cynthia. And I got really obsessed with horses because Cynthia was obsessed with horses. Do you know what I do not care about at all? Horses. I think they're beautiful. I don't want to be anywhere near them. But I mean, it's like of all the things, like I'm around her, but I'm going to take this on.
Oh, man. Well, all this, it reminds me, tying back to Lent, this is so like what we model Lent after. Jesus in the desert, when he spends 40 days there, he has three temptations and all of them are a version of, hey, you have no food. You think you need that to live? Turn this stone into bread and you'll have everything you want. Take shortcuts to get that appetite fed that you think you need. He's like, well, man doesn't live on bread alone. And you can fill in the blank, right? Man doesn't live on these labels alone. I mean, as we're thinking, for me, is I needed to be seen as athletic. And if that were taken away or like if I were to get injured, I would be unsure. Like, who am I supposed to be right now? So if you listen, you may understand that. And so we hope that we could walk out of this as a Lenten practice. Again, part of Lent is learning to go through hard things. We lean into the hard so that we can be resilient when we face these challenges, when these parts of our identity, our expectation of living into it, we may not be able to have that all the time. And God's saying, you're okay. Even if you don't have that, you're okay. You're beloved. So Bonnie, before we go, do you have a challenge to leave with us?
I absolutely do. So I think a lot about Ephesians 3. Paul is praying for a group of people called the Ephesians, and he's like pouring his heart out. And I think about that for like Bonnie in middle school, and I think about all of that for you. And he is praying that they would know the height and the width and the depth and the breadth of God's love.
That's awesome.
And then who they become as a result of that. And so I would challenge you to go read that and just sit with it for a few minutes and meditate on the way it describes God's love for you.
Can you repeat the verse number one more time?
Yeah, it's Ephesians 3, and it starts in verse 14. And I think it goes to verse 21.
Yeah, Ephesians 3, 14 through 21. We can get that in the show notes, or if you have a Bible with you right now, it's in the New Testament. Find the Gospels. Keep going right. Keep going past Romans, Corinthians, and then it'll pop up soon after that. It's a short little one. So good.
There you go. Well, Bonnie, that's beautiful. And I also love that you brought up a challenge being to go meditate, to go pray, reflective of who you are, and I love that our students get to partake in that. So thanks for bringing that to us today.
Sweet. Radical.
Trinity Youth, we love you. That's all we have for you today, and as always,
peace be with you.
You nailed it, Bonnie.